Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope your day is going well and you're keeping your cool in this heat wave. Later this hour, we'll talk about baseball, looking to try and reopen or start the season midsummer. No fans in the stands. We'll talk about the various proposals to do so. Teams are reportedly telling players to start getting in shape. They're hoping to have something going by June and into July. But, of course, we'll see. One of the big concerns is that there could be a significant outbreak of COVID-19 driving the numbers up, and that sets everything back. But, of course, Hollywood, a huge employer, television and film production, thousands and thousands of Southern Californians work in the industry and have been sidelined as a result of COVID-19. Last week, L.A. City Councilmember Mitch O'Farrell introduced a motion to create a task force to get Hollywood back to work. Production for the first quarter of 2020 was down 18%, and of course, the first quarter was only a portion of that related to COVID-19. If you look at what's happened since the stay-at-home order, the industry has ground, largely ground to a halt. Joining us to talk about what it would take to gradually restart production of television and film is the host of KPCC's The Frame, John Horn. John, great to have you with us today.
Happy to be with you, Larry.
So, John, you've been talking to all kinds of people in the industry at different levels. What are some of the things they're saying about what it will realistically take to get back to work?
I think one of the things they're saying repeatedly is they can only reopen once. If you get it wrong, you've really done it so badly that you're really set yourself back even further. And what has to happen, according to the people I've talked to, is there have to be some sort of agreed upon and mandatory standards for safety. And those can apply to things as specific as like the snack table on a movie set. Like, is food open or is it all in a container? And it can go to things like, are actors doing romantic scenes both having to be tested? And are those tests going to be done every day? So I think what everybody I've talked to has said is, yes, they're very eager to get back to work because come like October, November, based on the shutdown, there's not going to be a lot of new content available. But they know that if they go back to work, they can't do so unless things are 100% safe. And that's also going to affect the kinds of movies and TV shows that people are going to want to make. Maybe they're not going to be a lot of big budget action movies with, you know, 100 extras. Maybe everything's going to be a lot smaller scale. Maybe a lot of films will be set on location rather than sound stages. Everybody is trying to figure it out, but what they have to get first is agreed upon standards that everybody adheres to.
John Horn of KPCC's The Frame joining us on Air Talk. One of the things, John, that they're talking about with professional sports, the NBA is looking at, you know, can we either test every player and other member, you know, of the personnel team on a regular basis, or can we put players into a bubble essentially without contact with the outside world while they're playing games? And I wonder, is that something they've talked about with specific productions that maybe you would have everybody tested up front? They test negative, they come in and you essentially lock them down at a hotel so they're not interacting with the outside world during the time they're working together shooting.
Yeah. Try selling that to an actor going into, you know, a hotel for a couple of months and not going back to his or her family. I think in theory, it's a really good idea. I think what people have started talking about is like, on any movie set, if you go visit, there's something called the video village where the director and the director of photography might be looking at monitors that are showing the action that's being filmed. Around that might be half a dozen other people, a producer, the script supervisor, maybe somebody's assistant. That kind of configuration is probably going to change, and it might change permanently. But think about what happens on any given set. You have an actor who is getting his or her costume fitting, his or her hair, his or her makeup. How do you do those things in a socially distanced way. I mean, I think the idea of quarantining a cast and crew makes sense kind of mathematically, but I don't think it makes sense practically. And I don't think a lot of people would sign up for that unless it's the only way to get something shot.
Makes sense. Do you think it likely, you were talking about maybe smaller scale films, do you think that we would likely be seeing smaller crews to try and reduce the interactions? I mean, and if so, that has negative economic impact on people employed in the business.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, there are tens of thousands of people who have lost their jobs because production has stopped. I was talking to a producer the other day, and I said, so independent filmmakers who are used to working with, like, not a lot of money and creative solutions, and maybe they can't afford a big ensemble, are those kinds of filmmakers going to be very much in vogue? And he said, absolutely. He said, you're going to see a lot of maybe contained movies. Maybe they're going to be horror movies. Maybe they're going to be period pieces where there's only like five or six speaking parts. Because if you start thinking about what it requires to get maybe 20 or 30 speaking roles on a film set, you've got to multiply that toward all the people who are costuming, who are doing hair, makeup, you know, what it takes to light those scenes. So, yeah, I think in some ways, even if the sets are smaller, it might be a good opportunity for filmmakers who are coming out of an independent film background. But as I said at the beginning, you got to get it right at the start, because somebody mentioned insurance. How do you insure a production against infection? And if you have an actor or a crew member who gets sick on set and you have to shut the production down, who's paying for that? What are the premiums going to be like?
Yeah, who's going to sell that insurance? I mean, that seems so unlikely, but or the premiums would just be so outrageous. John, before I let you go, is it likely that whatever guidelines are developed are going to come out of the guilds that represent all the different branches of film and TV making?
Yes, I think that's where it's going to start. And I talked to somebody the other day who was working at the Directors Guild of America, Steven Soderbergh, who oddly enough
of Contagion
is chairing the committee on how Hollywood is going to return from the Directors Guild. But there's been notes from the Cinematographers Guild, from the Teamsters. They're all saying we are working on a plan, but they have to agree on a plan. And listen, getting all of the guilds in Hollywood to agree on anything is going to be really hard. Getting the studios to sign off on that is going to be incredibly difficult. This is like collective bargaining writ large. But if everybody doesn't agree on standards, and those standards can apply to things from stunts to snacks, it's not going to happen. So yes, the guilds are going to take a lead role, but there's going to have to be buy-in from production companies and studios, or, you know, if there's not agreed upon standards, then nobody's going to go back to work.
I'm also concerned, John, this is an industry with a lot of older people working in it. It's an industry that has had to deal with age discrimination, you know, for many, many years. And for older employees in Hollywood, I'm very concerned, because they're, of course, going to be among the most vulnerable.
I think that's a totally legitimate question. And there's something to be said for hiring veterans because they know how to get the job done. And yet there is an industry-wide bias historically against people of a certain age. And it certainly applies to actors, but it applies to cinematographers, and it might apply to editors. And yeah, I think that's a legitimate issue. And they might be more vulnerable, or it might be assumed they're more vulnerable. And then if you're getting into like hiring discrimination based on a suspicion that somebody might get sick easier, that's a whole other can of worms. But I think what you're touching on is how complicated all of this is. It's one thing to open a theme park and have social distancing. It's another thing to get back in production. And listen, Hollywood's going to have to get back in production, because they realize the Walt Disney Company attributed $1.4 billion of losses to the pandemic in its earnings earlier this week. They're going to run out of content like everybody else.
Yeah.
October, November, if they're not back up and running in a couple months, there's not going to be new content in theaters if they're open, or on streaming services or networks. So they know the clock is ticking, but they don't want to rush and get it wrong.
I can't believe there's still stuff debuting week by week that's in the pipeline. Tells you how far ahead this business works.
And of course, you know, some things that were supposed to come out later, like the amazing Michael Jordan documentary series on ESPN and Netflix, they moved that up. But, Yeah, at a certain point, you know, a lot of stuff has been filmed. They're putting it through post-production in unusual ways. You know, maybe the full orchestra isn't going to score the next movie. It might be done on somebody's piano. They're coming up with creative solutions. But if you're not filming something now and nothing is getting filmed now, you don't have anything to mix. You don't have anything to score. You don't have anything to release.
John, good to talk with you again, and very nice that you'll be with us on Film Week tomorrow with our feature interview on the program. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Larry. Bye.
John Horn, host of KPCC's The Frame, who's been closely following and reporting on efforts to gradually reopen Hollywood production. Let's talk with Isaiah in South Pasadena. Isaiah, I understand that you're a director, so share with us your experience in trying to make this work.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of a lucky guy because I started working on a script a little late last year to accommodate the fact that I directed my first film last year. That's a whole nother story because I was terrified of trying to sell it as a small indie movie, and the market has been very difficult. And now all of a sudden I'm in a good position, which I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But with the new one, yeah, I basically am writing to make a movie that could be made with the no gathering, fewer or greater than 10 rule in place, which is kind of terrifying. But at the same time, I think it's got to be possible. I used to make stuff as a kid all the time with fewer people than that. And so my thought is, how do we play to the strengths and get something out there, you know, get people working in part in my case, because I'm a smaller independent filmmaker, before they have everything else that pays them, frankly, a lot more money competing for their attention. It's kind of, you know, I'm trying to sort of slide in under the one.
Yeah. Isaiah, we wish you all the best with the production you're working on now, and thanks for talking about efforts to make sure that the project is scaled down and can be more easily accomplished under COVID-19 restrictions. Again, I'd like to hear from you if you work anywhere in the film or television business about what you think it would take for the kind of work that you do to be done safely. So let's say you're a makeup artist, a hairstylist, you work in costuming, handle the script on set, whatever it is that you do, I'd like to hear specifically what it would take for you to do your job comparatively safely under COVID-19 restrictions. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me, the president of the nonprofit that oversees film and TV productions in Los Angeles County, Film LA. Paul Audley, good to have you with us again.
Thanks, Larry. Good to be with you.
So, Paul, what is your organization doing to try and prepare for the eventual reopening of productions?
Well, we're working very closely with all of our partners in the various cities we represent, as well as the county. And we're looking at working really closely with this umbrella organization in the industry, looking at national standards. And that's being led by the MPA, representing the studios, and contract services as a safety organization, the unions and guilds. And they're working with epidemiologists and experts on immunology to look at developing plans for all the various sectors and pieces. John was talking about the fact that the film industry isn't just that scene that you see, but it's a lot of people behind the scenes. And so we're looking at all of those opportunities. And as an organization, we went 100% virtual in early March. And so when the county is ready to let us begin again, we're ready to go.
What about for location filming in Los Angeles County? The concerns of neighbors, because they see large groups of people coming in with the trucks, the equipment, all the production staff and actors. That's probably going to be cause for concern. What is Film LA, you know, when we get to that point, which is a ways off, of course, what is your organization planning to do to help resolve some of those concerns?
Well, I don't anticipate that at the beginning we'll be seeing large crews at any rate, but Film LA has already developed talking points and communications vehicles that will attach the actual specific information when it comes forward from this industry group and county health to pre-notice. We're hoping to give at least a week in advance to get out to media and to these neighborhood groups. We have hundreds of contacts to let them know what safety procedures will be in place and how it will work going forward, and invite their communication back if they have concerns.
And is your organization working with LA County's health department on this, or is that to come down the line when we get closer to production resuming?
Now, we've been working very closely with the county, and county health obviously is going to be the one who hands out the final conditions that this all works with. But we're in constant communication with the county, with the city, and with our other partners talking about how to make this work and return responsibly to filming on location in Los Angeles.
We're talking with Phil Audley of Film LA, the nonprofit overseeing film and TV production. He's the president of the organization. And again, I'd like to hear from you. If you work in any aspect of film and television production, what would it take for you to do your job? What would you have to do differently to provide protection against COVID-19 spread? We're at 866-893-KPECC. I'm also interested in hearing, if you've still been working and you're in production, what is it that you've been able to do remotely? Animators, for example, have you just been going on and able to work as you typically doing teleconferences with the creative team you're working on, but be able to animate at home and just keep going with that? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Back in 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC or the KPECC app or through your smart speaker, which you'd likely told to play KPECC. We're talking about the challenges of resuming television and film production, and I'm very interested in talking with you if you have a job anywhere in production to share what your concerns are about going back to work and keeping yourself safe. What are the measures that you think would be necessary on set or off set to make sure that you and your colleagues are going to be okay while you're getting back to work? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Daniel in Van Nuys, I understand you're a background actor, is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so share with us what your concern is, because typically, by definition, you're working in a group, aren't you?
Very much so, and our holding areas are generally, if it's on location, it could be somebody's driveway, or even a smaller area than that, a side of a house. And with the spacing requirements, I'm wondering if production's going to try to adapt to get us on in a more spread out area when they do.
Do you have any idea how to do that? If you were responsible for overseeing the work that you do, what do you think would be a way of accommodating this?
I can only think that spreading us out, having a few different areas where background is, or if we're using our cars for a show for a shot, having us just stay in our cars for the day. I mean, we can walk around, but
yeah,
our cars are the best holding areas of all because it's comfortable and we're isolated.
Makes sense. Daniel, I appreciate it and wish you all the best. Hope you're able to safely get back to work soon. Speaking of actors, bring into the conversation the Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel of SAG-AFTRA, the union representing media artists. He currently leads SAG-AFTRA's Safety and Reopen Initiative. I should mention, by the way, that I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA. Duncan Crabtree, Ireland, good to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. It's great to be here.
So just share with us what you're working with your division of AFTRA to make sure that it's safe for actors when they get back to work.
Absolutely. Well, we have an initiative, as you mentioned, to make sure that we've got safety plans and protocols in place for the return to work. And I think earlier John mentioned that that's something that's being done in cooperation with other unions and guilds and also with the industry, because we all recognize that it's really important to have everyone on the same page about how this type of reopening will work. I think it's also important to note that that's going to be different in different places around the country. There are unique circumstances. So the guidelines and protocols that are being put together have to be both protective so that people can have confidence that they can work in safety, and they also have to be flexible enough to accommodate the difference between, say, shooting on a studio lot versus shooting on location versus shooting a commercial on location or doing a small new media production from someone's home. Those are all different types of scenarios, and we're going to address all of them.
Is there any tension at this point between the unions? I'm thinking like the DGA, because directors, you know, they're going to have their priorities, and the actors that your union represents are going to have their own, and, you know, cinematographer, everybody's going to have their own sort of primary concerns. Is there any tension in working this out?
Well, from my perspective, actually, everyone's been amazingly supportive of each other, particularly amongst the guilds and unions that are working together on this, because I think everyone wants everyone to be safe. And, you know, film and television production and new media production, it's a team effort. It's not something that you can do just by yourself. If you're a director, you need actors. If you're an actor, you need a director. You need the crew. So I think there's an understanding that everyone needs to be safe. Everybody needs to be taken care of. And we're all trying to look out for the big picture and the fact that that we all are in this together.
All right. Duncan Crabtree Ireland is the COO and General Counsel of SAG-AFTRA. Let's talk with Lori in Encino. I understand you're a line producer of television commercials. And so, Lori, share with us what the challenges are in what you do.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, I think that, there's so many logistics that come into just planning like a 2 or 3 day TV commercial. And, you know, there's a lot of prep work before you're actually on set shooting with the 60 or 70 people that you may have on set. So, you know, we have to go out and location scout houses or restaurants or whatever it is. We're constantly walking in and out of people's houses. And then you're in a casting studio, which I feel like is where everybody always gets sick. There's always someone with sniffles, and you've got 10 people sitting on a casting couch, you know, looking at people performing. So I think it's going to come down to logistics, which I think every production really does, and how smoothly they go. You have to be really good at logistics and kind of looking and trying to anticipate every problem that could come up.
And that's going to be a huge learning curve for someone like yourself, because there's stuff that undoubtedly you're not even thinking of right now that when you actually get to the location is going to rear its head.
Yeah, I always say we learn something new on every job, and it's always like, wow, I've never had that problem before. But, you know, usually, like the last caller said, like, it is a huge team effort, and, you know, there's so many safety protocols in place already. I feel like this is just going to be the next one, and I think hopefully this rapid testing thing can be implemented really soon, because I think that's going to be what's going to make most people really comfortable, is they're going to come to work and they're going to get tested.
Provided it's reliable. Absolutely. Lori, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. 866-893-KPECC. Noel in Highland Park. You're a commercial production designer. So share with us a little bit about your thoughts on the hurdles here to get back to work.
Hi, Larry. Two things. One, it's very difficult to say that production even remotely happens in a bubble. It's very integrated into all of Southern California. There are, you know, tens of thousands of vendors that we use on a regular basis. So it's not just, you know, what happens on a stage or on a set. It's decorators going into prop houses and making pickups and across the board, every department deals with outside companies all the way through the midst of production. So it's a lot of layers of things to figure out.
Yeah. And do you think realistically that what you do as a commercial production designer, that you're going to be able to get back to work this year?
It's hard to say. You know, I've looked at the sort of the protocols that people have been coming up with smaller working groups, and, you know, they're pages and pages long. I'm more interested to see what's going to happen. You know, the last time in 2008, there was a big economic downturn. you know, the budget shrank immensely on productions, and it was sort of used as a cudgel to bring rates down and everything. So I'm concerned that, you know, this is way, way worse. And even if it does come back, it's going to be when we're going to need more time and more money to do things, the opposite is going to be the reality.
Noel, thank you so much. Noel in Highland Park with Sarah in Burbank. I understand you're an animator or work in animation. So have you been able to work through this?
Yeah, actually, the studio I work for has sent most of us home with work from home equipment. We're working off a server to kind of grab files as needed. But honestly, for us, it's kind of been business as usual with some hiccups of accommodating different people's work from home, you know, capabilities. But actually, it's one of the few, you know, points in Hollywood where we've actually been able to keep working, and actively they're greenlighting more shows, more movies, things like that. So it's definitely different than the live action production.
So do you think, Sarah, we're going to start seeing significantly higher percentage of animated television and film later this year, just because there won't be as much live action content?
Absolutely. I think the one thing, though, that's tricky is animated content can take a lot longer to make. One episode of TV generally takes about 9 to 10 months. So it's a lot longer turnaround. And then there, of course, are going to be issues with actor records, things like that. Though, you know, we're definitely working with actors who have voice actors that have work from home setups. So there's definitely going to be some accommodating and, you know, figuring out how we can best get content to people quickly. But, you know, working with overseas studios, there's some complications there. What's their work from home set up like as well? So,
well, an hours of the day difference, I would assume, too. You've got, I think you work with a studio in India, right? So you've got huge time zone differences there. Is your teleconferencing up essentially all day as you work?
We have set meeting times, but we generally have a, you know, morning meeting where we check in, and then, you know, I'll have phone calls with India as needed. But, you know, it's pretty busy, to be honest, even though we're working from home.
All right. Sarah, thanks very much and wish you all the best. Sarah's an animator. Tim in West Hollywood, you're a conductor, I understand. Have you been able to keep working?
I've been able to keep working because we've been recording some shows remotely, and I'm also an orchestrator, so I'm involved in sort of translating the computer files from the composer into the music for the orchestra. So we had some success with Empire. That was written up in Variety, I believe. And there was also a show we're working on called Council of Dads, which is a new show. And so we've been able to keep going with that. And I'm preparing music for some movies that, so that, you know, the minute the studios are open, we can jump in and record. And we're coming up with plans of how to distance in the studio. If Fox opens up, we've got a movie coming up called Three Guy, Ryan Reynolds' next film, and we'd love to get that recorded right away. And if Fox opens up and says we can have 40 people in the studio at once, how do we space and, you know, successfully do that?
Well, and are there projects that you've been involved with that the original thought was to use an orchestra that became impractical, and so instead it's performed in a studio electronically instead of with acoustic orchestra?
When this first happened, there was talk of that, but the big projects that I've been on have all pushed, and you know, they moved the dates out. So we're still planning to do as much as we can. There will be some computer sweetening to sort of bind it all together with what we can get accomplished. And we won't be able to record, you know, everyone at once. So we will split it all up, and it'll take a bit more time and planning. But
yeah, to put all those tracks to get, yeah. Tim, before I let you go, describe what it'll be like for you to get in the same room up in front of an orchestra to conduct again.
Oh, it'll be amazing. I mean, it's the best part of the process. Everyone in the film, directors, producers, they all say that coming to the scoring stage at the end is one of their favorite things. And we really love them coming in and seeing it, and all of getting us all together and all the players in the one room and just making music. And we really miss that. So it'll be really amazing when we get to do it again. And we're hoping it's soon.
Yeah, scoring sessions are amazing. Tim, thanks so much. Let's talk next with Rachel in Los Feliz. I understand you're a voiceover actor.
Yes, I'm a voiceover actor, and I'm lucky in that I had a home studio already set up before COVID-19 happened, but now we need to make some special accommodations to actually record jobs here rather than auditions. But the auditions have definitely increased, I'd say about 30% for voiceover right now.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because it's the one area of production that everybody can kind of do solo, like the caller before was talking animation. Everybody can really work by themselves, including the voice actors. And we don't always record ensemble anyway. We often are just in there by ourselves doing the voiceover. So it just happens to work out that way. And I think things are going to be going the animation direction going forward.
Very good. And do you do a mix of animation, commercials? What sort of work do you do?
Yeah, I do mostly animation, but commercials, promos, and video games. And I've been able to record some actual jobs from my home studio here, but I do have to beef up my equipment because I feel like, you know, the ones who have the really professional home studios are going to have the advantage here. So I know a lot of people are in my same position and we're scurrying to buy equipment.
Yeah, that's the work at home challenge everybody's facing. So true. Rachel, I appreciate it very much. Lainey in Glendale, I understand you're a hairstylist in the film industry. We were talking just earlier about stylists generally and the challenge for them staying safe with COVID-19. So what are your thoughts of how you would stay safe working on a film set?
Oh, Larry, well, I'm actually very confused and don't know how we're going to be able to keep safety measures besides wearing masks. But we work in such close proximity with the actors. I mean, we're the first ones they see in the trailer in the morning. And sometimes there's five or six people running through the trailers. If I'm working on a television show, you've got four hair and makeup people in there. And then you've got three, four, five, six, seven actors coming in and out, along with production people checking on what we're doing. So I honestly am very confused and don't know how we're going to be able to get through our jobs and maybe cleaning crews at the end of the night to come through the trailers and come through the sets. I've been talking with a lot of friends and just I honestly don't know how we're going to do it.
I'm sure you don't like to hear this as an idea, but do you think that for many of the actors, they're going to be taking on more of the responsibility for their hair or makeup? Or is that, I mean, obviously a period piece that's not going to be workable, but do you think that that's even possible for some productions?
I think it's possible, but it's also difficult because the actors do rely on us for sometimes things more than just their hair and their makeup. We are a foundation for them and just their well-being for the day sometimes too. But then there's times when we're on set and the camera guy goes, oh my gosh, she's shiny or she's got a hair out of place. You need to fix that. And, you know, they don't see it, but we do. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Lainey, if it came down to you wearing a, you know, plastic face mask, you've seen that for some of the frontline health workers, wearing that as you style the hair or apply makeup, do you think you could work with that or would that just be too uncomfortable to do the physical work you need to do?
I could absolutely work with a face shield. That's easy. The face mask for the 12 hours, that's another thing. Like, you know, we may be working 12-hour days, but hair and makeup usually ends up working 14 because we're there before everybody. Sometimes we have to block wigs at night. So, yes, I could wear a face shield. A face mask all day might be difficult, but I'd be willing to cover myself up because I really love my job.
Lainey, it sounds like I love your enthusiasm for it. Thank you so much, Lainey and Glendale. These are wonderful calls. I thank you so much for sharing with us so that we can all learn about the work that you do in the film and television industry and what it would take in your view to create a safe environment for you to do what you love to do and what you rely on economically. I want to thank the Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel of SAG-AFTRA, Duncan Crabtree Ireland. I'm sure we'll be checking in with Duncan as we go down the road here and get closer to production actually getting back to work. And our thanks to the president of Film LA, Paul Audley, and our own John Horn of The Frame. Coming up, we talk Major League Baseball. MLB is getting kind of itchy about getting back onto the field, obviously without fans in the stands. There are three general ideas they're looking at to start play in the 2020 season. We'll talk about the challenges that each of them present, and it'll be the triple play, A. Martinez, Nick Roman, and me, as well as Wall Street Journal reporter Jared Diamond. We'll be back in 1 minute.